Matthew chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, ye observe and do. But do ye not after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. At that point, Jesus goes into his woes. His woes against the scribes and the Pharisees. His woes against the hypocrites. This opening preamble to this discourse against them contains many important ideas that apply even to today. Because the scriptures are always fulfilled. Someone fulfills them in one way or the other. Meaning, someone's going to fulfill the word of God to be for good, to fulfill the works of the sons of God, to fulfill the works of the servants of God, and others are going to fulfill the works of the servants that are not of God, the servants of the devil. And it's not very popular to say, oh, they're the servants of the devil. But when they work against Christ, who could they serve? But he that is the enemy. That's why John the Baptist does not hesitate to say, you offspring of snakes. And Jesus also calls them, you are of your father, the devil. Not the Jews as a race, as some mistakenly think, but as according to, as the Apostle John taught, that he that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. You want to know who the children of the devil are? John, in very delicate, gentle language, says, Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous. The way you manifest the sons of God and the sons of the devil are their works. He that doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The righteousness which is according to faith, the doctrine which is according to righteousness, the doctrine of Christ and his apostles, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The scribes and the Pharisees fit into this mold, and many in our religious leadership do today. What does he mean when he says, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat? A lot of times I've heard this, people portray this as Jesus is saying to the people, listen to what the scribes and Pharisees say. Do what they say. No, what he's doing is he's affirming a fact. He's saying, because they sit in the place of authority, meaning in your society, they occupy the position of religious authorities, much as church leaders do today. That's why when they want someone who's a religious authority, who do they go but to the people who sit in Moses' seat? The people who sit in the place of the one who is in communication with God, or who they perceive that to be. That's who they seek to. And in Jesus' generation, they perceive that to be the scribes and Pharisees. They seem to be the religious leaders, so whatever they bid the people to observe and do, that's what the people would do. That's exactly what he's saying. Whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do. In the Greek, their word that is, does not occur, and they added that because they thought this would complete the sense. It has the force of you observe and do what they bid you. It has the force of whatever they bid you to do, that's what you do. And I suppose some people might disagree, but you don't know what you're talking about. Jesus is telling them, oh, observe and do everything they say. In a little bit, he says, you know, when you make a disciple, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Why would you do the things they say to do? Because the things they say to do are hypocrisy. The things they say to do are not right. Oh, whatever the people in authority and religion say to you to do, like the people, the priests of the Catholic Church, the ministers of the Baptist Church, the leaders of the Presbyterians and the leaders of the Episcopals, oh, because they sit in a place of authority and where men have respect to them, you should listen to what they say. I do not say such a thing. And that is not what the Lord is saying either. There is this dynamic. When someone takes authority to themselves and they place themselves in this position of being something special with God, in Moses' seat. Moses' seat is the seat of the lawgiver, the truth giver. Some might say, well, you're sitting in that seat now. You know, no one can take it to themselves. What I mean is, when Moses, when he was a young man, he went and there were two Israelites fighting. And he said, don't fight, brothers. It shouldn't be so. And they said, who made you a ruler over us? Will you slay me like you slew that Egyptian? There he tried to provide some leadership and they rejected him. So Moses at one time did not sit in Moses' seat. But once he delivered them, the people continually looked to him for guidance. They looked to him as the one who would communicate to them the will of God. But it was not always so. Unless the people affirm you, unless they look to you for that guidance, you can't really be said to sit in Moses' seat. Jesus wasn't sitting in Moses' seat. The scribes and Pharisees were sitting there. They were the ones that the people looked to as authoritative. I mean, they were impressed with Jesus' miracles. They took him for a prophet. But that didn't change the status of the religious authorities. Now, they had a political way of behaving where they would consider what the people thought and make decisions based on their fears and on their apprehensions of what people might do. Because even Moses, the people murmured against him. So while it is a two-edged sword, that being in that position, there's a sort of a authority that comes with it, respect, but it's also, they hold you more accountable for having been in that position. That's why whenever a minister falls into sin, you see it's a great big deal. Except it's got to be something particularly scandalous. As I said the other day, you can be as fat as you like as a minister of God, and there's no scandal. Well, I guess if you get to a certain size, they'll probably think it's scandalous. But when it comes to other forms of lack of self-control, you know, they're not so lenient. It depends. How salacious is it? Only the salacious sins do they really care about these days. You can be totally out of control with food, and you can be considered for sitting in Moses' seat, even if you're going to break the chair. But other things, no. Right? So there's a certain outward righteousness that they display, a certain hypocrisy. And I apologize to people who are fat. I don't mean to pick on them specifically. What concerns me more are the things that people are willing to accept that are also unacceptable in the sight of God. But the reason I apologize is because I don't want to make one sin seem out of measure with other sins. God looks at it all as sinful, and we want to be like Christ without sin. So we cannot look at ourselves and accept ourselves as we see ourselves if ourselves include sin. I can't accept myself as I am.